Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports In Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soldier Channel, Sports In Depth with the show, and always open with John Colton. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. And we ask foremost that you have your will and your way be first and foremost our life. We thank you, Lord, for looking so largely take for granted, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as the man once said, although we don't live in Park Avenue, by the grace of God, we don't live in Park Avenue. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your darling son, Jesus, that died on the cross, and we had the right to tree of life. And though you may not be everybody's God, you are God all by yourself. All honor and praise to you, your darling son Jesus, and your holy name, dear Lord. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldier Channel. Sports In Depth is the show.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com, music for your mind, body, and soul.
Okay, without further ado, as we continue here on our Sunday Sports In Depth, and we will let Rooney, once again, introduce and bring you and the Sports In Depth of the show.
Why, thank you, Doctor. The Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that's Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. And we're waiting for the rest of the panel to come in. We're giving you just an hour tonight. We've been watching again, too. You know, we want to start the show off, Mel, in remembering Hal Jackson, as today is his big day, Sunday Morning Classics with Hal Jackson. No longer will that be done live, as Hal passed away this week, 97 years old. And you're talking about the straw. He was the whole mix, first African-American everything, the Jackie Robinson of African-American radio, a man who Babe Ruth drove home, a man who every time Dr. Martin Luther King came into town, they had dinner. He was there when the lady stabbed Dr. King with the letter opener. It was him who implemented the paperwork that got us Dr. Martin Luther King there as a holiday. He was there with Art Rush Jr. when Josh Gibson hit one out. Josh Gibson was a personal friend, as was Joseph Lewis Barrows, a.k.a. the Brown Bomber Joe Lewis. So in remembering a pioneer, remembering why we all are here from a black radio perspective, the late, the great, my mentor, my father figure, by the grace of God, my friend, I have a photo autographed, last photo he autographed to me, to my leader, Stanley. And you know, you touch when men say things like that. I remember the first time I met Reverend Al Sharpton. Well, I had an autographed picture for me, not I read him. And I didn't pay any attention to the picture. And when I looked later on, it said to my hero, Doc Stanley. I remember John McEnroe gave him a picture one time, and he autographed it for me. And when I got home, it said, your friend, John McEnroe. Rooney, wow, a lot of things are happening, a lot of things not happening. Boston beat Atlanta, so they're in the finals for the shot at the title round against Miami. Miami finally got past the Pacers, but two teams that are doing quite well, and we saw them doing well, Oklahoma City and the Spurs. I was asked today by Jimmy Nesville, good friend of mine's down in North Carolina, as we were talking conference-wise with Steve Blazer. And, you know, he said, who do you like, Doc? And having got, you know, it depends who's healthy. I think if Oklahoma can really push the Spurs, and inadvertently if it would mean losing in 6 or 7 games, I think that could be advantageous to whoever in the East is healthy. Bosch has to be a big factor for Miami, and that could be advantageous for Boston as they, and it doesn't mean anything. But, you know, first of all, Rooney, you know, it's amazing how you never hear any salutations given to Doc Rivers, coach of the Boston Celtics. Like, he doesn't
tremendous
even exist.
Tremendous coach, Doc. Doc, a tremendous. You know, that's frankly, I have to thank you so much, Doc, because it was thanks to you that I first got to meet Doc and have one of many conversations. First of all, he's a great guy. Let me just say that right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
Doc Rivers is a tremendous human being.
As is
a bona fide great guy, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great all-around guy. Basketball, no basketball. Doc is a great guy. And, Doc, the guy has a basketball mind. And when I say that, I mean, obviously, he's very bright. But, you know, Doc, I knew when he was playing for the Knicks, we'd sit down and chat a little bit after some of the games when he's a player for the Knicks, that this guy was going to coach one day, Doc. I just knew it. I knew this guy was going to coach one day.
Mm-hmm.
He knows his basketball inside and out. He's a people person. And, you know, I know there was a couple of guys who I know had a problem with Doc for whatever reason, okay? I'm here to say this right now, even though I'm obviously not a pro basketball player, but my philosophy is this. If you can't play for Doc Rivers, you can't play for anybody, Doc.
Yeah, I mean, it's enough of said that. I mean, and one again, if and then, as you know, I will be in the ensuing hours, also going to Brazil, and always speaking about Brazil, we also hear DocStanleySports.com is the site for my take a peep at my Trust in God Sports and Deaf Entertainment Artifacts Museum. And one of the things in there is another classic autographed photo by Doc Rivers, and it simply says, from one doctor to another. And I have a great photo, one of the photos I'm really proud of is me and Doc, and you see him looking at the stat sheet, but he's got his hand is on my shoulder, you know, and it's just a picture that says in words, two friends, somebody's real comfortable with, and he's been a class act as a human being.
Very
one of the
classy,
keys.
Doc. Speaking of class acts, Doc, I just have to say this. Speaking of class acts, from one classy doctor to another, Doc Rivers to you to Doc Rivers. From one class act to another, Doc.
Ronnie, thanks to me, Ronnie. You know, and the thing I want to say publicly, in the background, I've got to shout out to Brazil, too, because I have to say to my dear friend Rosie, who listens to Sports in Depth every Sunday live here, and understand, she's only an hour behind us, okay? But before, she was as much as, you know, when we would come on at 9, it was 12 midnight there in Brazil. And she uses the show as a barometer to stay up sports, but she says, no, it wasn't her, it was somebody else. Who listens to the show? No, I think it was Lillian in Sao Paulo. I don't know how she said. She said sometimes we talk too fast for her to grasp what we're saying. But Rosie has done a tremendous job in enhancing her the comprehension of English by listening to Sports in Depth. And we want to say hello to her. My buddy Steve Glazer down in Fortaleza. That show, Costa Marshall Jr., international promoter extraordinaire. Everybody over at the Panamericano Hotel. Rua Augusta, Geraldo, Ricardo. Hans is gone, as is Nika, but the rest of the family is there. And got to say hello to my afiado. Did I say that right, Rosie? Afiado? Mi afiado, mi afiado. That means I was the best man at their wedding. And so they're, you know, we're bound. Chiquino, G-L-M-A-D, tremendous saxophone player, one of the top saxophone players in the world, and was Gloria Gaynor's lead saxophone player when we were in Brazil, and she performed, and his lovely wife, Nell, Nuri, and Ricardo, he looks like Al Pacino, so I call him Al Pacino. Also want to say hello to Evelini and Natalia, Sylvia, and her two daughters, the lovely, what's her name, Agatha? Agatha, yeah, okay, Agatha. And the oldest daughter, who's now a big sister now. So hello to both of them. And go ahead down. As I can see, there's a boxing store. There's a famous hat store back there. So I got to go. I usually go in there, take a nice picture with the guy. And then there's a guy who has a boxing. He has a little stop there. I promised him I was going to bring some boxing pictures. So I'm going to have a picture of none other than Michael Gerald Tyson. I promised him. So they're going to put that up in the shop. They'll be there. And going to Fort the Laser, let's say hi to everybody at Marina Park. AJ, Anna, Judith, Viviani, Jr., and all my guys, the Captain Dunn, and all the people on the door there, and then have to go over to none other than Trapper John and Justino, and the crew there, down to the Bahaka, Joe. And so with that, just want to say hi to everybody. We'll get back to the Brazilian stuff later on. As you know, the World Cup is there in 2014, 2016, the first Latin country ever to get the Olympics, and then there's the Gold Cup that's going to be played there. And when you talk about football, you have to start and end with not only Pelé, but Brazil. Won the most World Cups. Pelé is the youngest man ever to play in a World Cup team. Youngest man ever to score a goal. The all-time king. There, the book that I was reading, and when it came to Pelé, it simply said, simply the best. It's astonishing when you realize that only he, Ali and Joe, stopped the war. Stopped the war. They stopped the war to watch Pelé play, and the world stopped to listen to Ali. Raise your one. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake, with the Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show. It's me. And Ronnie, I want to take this time, too, to commend you. You brought a dynamic interjection to this show. You remind me of the legendary Billy Bang Bang. Billy was the greatest clutch hitter I ever saw. He played back on the Madison Street with the incomparable legendary Fuzzy Bartlett, his brother, the late Glenn, and the incomparable, the legendary Melly Mays. And Billy was the kind of guy that whenever you needed to hit, you walk Fuzzy and bang, and mother, he always came through. And you always come through right here with the interjection, the foresight, the hindsight, and just what's always needed. Part of the makeup, which makes a champion. Championship team, you know, and so I just want to thank you.
Thank you, Doctor. I really appreciate that because I know you, of all people, know about, you know, getting those clutch hits and making those big-time plays, and I have to tell you, Doc, that when you say coming through in the clutch, coming from you, that's a truly high-grade compliment, so I really appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, well, it's the truth, you know, and that great line, I think Abraham Lincoln says, no man has good enough memory to be a successful lie. You know, and when you got to remember the truth, you got to worry about nothing. Ronnie, real quickly, you talked about the WWF and the big effect. You know, because I meant to tell you, I have some pictures that I saw. I said, man, I got to tell. When I was going through my Sports in that file, and I have some pictures that I'm going to dig them out. I said, I got to show these to Rooney. Sean, the Diesel, some other names.
Oh, Diesel,
I to,
Kevin Nash, all the Doc Diesel.
I'm gonna pull him out.
Pull him out for me, Doc. That'd be great stuff.
Well, I'm glad, man. In a few minutes, I get to go into the Sports in Depth Hall of Fame, Trust in God Museum. I'm waiting for the rest of the crew to join, but hey, we'll keep on. Ronnie, one of the things, and I think you were a little staunch against that somewhat, and Dusty's always been, who was Floyd Mayweather to talk about this testing and stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, it seemed Dusty was on the mindset of Mayweather, like wasn't a professional fighter, like he wasn't in the game. But Winky Wright said something the other day, and I remember I talked to Oscar De La Hoya about this, and he said, Mayweather was right about this testing thing. And in lieu of what's come up, Rooney, with the Berto fight. Him testing positive. And then you had Peterson before the conference. And these were two big fights as Gilberto Ortiz working on boxing from the Latin side that people were very much anticipating and wanting to see. And then we go back to the doctored hands by Margarito. There's a lot to be said about
right,
Mayweather's contention.
You're right. Doc, you're absolutely right. And I'm big enough to admit that because you know what my problem with Floyd was at first, Doc? when he first came up with, you know, I want this guy to have Olympic-style testing, and I'm demanding that. And at first I was going to say, all right, Floyd, you're big. Okay, you're big. You're undefeated. Everybody knows you play the bad guy, blah, 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 okay? But nobody's bigger than boxing, okay? And I think you're trying to get big when you start making demand. But, you know, Doc, I do have to say, in all honesty, he may have been right, and so are you. Because right now we're finding guys of all kind of, let's just say, performance-enhancing things occurring in their training.
And
Lady Ed says,
with you, he says, yo, I can understand the testing. She said, but, and we tried to get Roy Jones, he's been busy, and got to catch up with Ellerby. And one thing she said, you know, she questioned, why does it have to be the Olympic style test? And I remember John McEnroe, we're talking courtside, and you know, it's amazing when you see two people at a basketball game talking. I think inadvertently you think they're talking about the game, and a lot of times they're not, as I've been around some baseball plays, and they're on the field. The baseball sometimes is the last thing on their mind. And me and McEnroe were talking about somebody who had just been caught, and the determining factor, and really the factor that was sort of jovial and kind of insane about it was that he happened to be caught in the one place that they tested. I mean, why would you do it in the one place that they do the testing? But it seems to be, this has been a long ongoing thing, and it seems that supposedly now the thing with Bertel is it may not have been steroids, but as medication to help in the healing of the shoulder there, Rooney.
Yeah, Doc, well, you know, Dan, you know, having come from a wrestling background myself, I'm, you know, pretty much, or I should say somewhat familiar with guys trying to get an edge via performance enhancers. However, you know, you tend to think of boxing as trying to be, you know, a relatively pure sport. You know, it's just mano-a-mano guys, you know, doing their weight training and their running and their road work. And that, for the most part, you know, is pretty, you know, straight up and pretty pure. I mean, barring the days with the loaded gloves and the Frankie Carbos.
Yeah.
You know,
can I talk to you for a minute, kid?
Yeah, indeed. But, you know, be that as it may, Doc, I mean, all that, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I mean, with Marco Rito, you have the issue of the loaded gloves. I mean, with these guys, like you said, testing positive for performance enhancing, or at least failing the test, be it because of medications they're taking or not. But the fact of the matter is that guys don't seem to be as clear in system as, you know, we generally think boxers are.
Well, you know, it's going back, Rooney, Doc Stanley Sports up on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Endeavor is a show. This is the one I do before back to Brazil. We'll be right back in just a minute, gang. And just want to do... Well, no, well, you know, it's not what Harold says, though. It's guys, Rooney, being led astray by people who don't have a clue. I mean, Harold has said this a lot. I mean, I think a lot of these guys probably were allowed or even instructed, Rooney, to take these things.
You know something, Doc? I have to say this. I don't want to sound like I'm really old school, and I am now, even though I'm relatively young old school. But not to me, just to me, maybe a little controversial what I'm about to say, but I'm saying and I'm standing by it. That people in general, Doc, and professions in general aren't as good as they were in my day or yours. But I say that to say that not just the athletes and the trainers, I mean, they're bigger, faster, taller, stronger, yeah. But I don't know if they have the intimate knowledge of the game like the old timers did.
Well, you know, I've long said this, that the guys may be bigger and stronger, faster, but they're not as fundamentally sound.
Absolutely, I mean, not, Doc. And that's the story.
Rooney, you knew when you came up, Rooney, there's no such thing as a point guard. You was a guard. I mean, how can you be a guard with no jump shot or you can't dribble?
And that's the point of it all, Doc. Like you said before, in the days of Monroe and Frazier and Oscar and folks
Jerry
like
West,
that.
Lenny guard Wilkins, Bob Cousy.
It wasn't a one guard or a two guard, not one guy that can just bring the ball up and pass or one guy that's just a shooting guard and all he do is throw the bombs. And before, Doc, you said you had to have an all-around game and you were able to do both. That's the difference.
I mean, that was the thing when Magic came to the Lakers was that, you know, heck, man, Nixon could bring the ball up. Magic could run down the floor, post up. He could hit me. You know what? I ain't got to worry about bringing the ball. Let me go down and help Kareem and Worthy with the rebound.
And, Doc, do you remember that time? Well, do you remember? Of course you remember. What about when Magic, I believe the center was out for an injury or something?
You know, it's funny, you're pulling it right from my mind when he played all the positions on the floor,
all
42
the positions,
points,
Doc.
19
Indeed.
Rebounds. I mean, that just showed it up. And I remember that game. Here's a game that the Sixers had to win. Here's a game that the Lakers had all but conceded, okay? And I looked, and Irving had played like half a game. How could you have Julius Irving in a game that you have to win play half a game? Or he missed the whole quarter? I mean, you want to play him as long as you can. I mean, Larry Bird
was trying. Absolutely, Doc.
I mean, Bird said, you know, with the kind of money we make, you know, we can play a whole game. I mean, between your timeouts and my timeouts and the free throw shot, I mean, look at Dipper. Well, Dipper's by himself. I mean, Dipper played the year that he scored the 50 points a game and 25 rebounds. He played every minute of every game.
And I don't have to, that's true, Doc, and I don't have to tell you that this, Doc, because you've seen them all, and you've seen them all up close and seen their performances up close. Doc, these are the best athletes, not in the city, not in the country. These are the best, most well-conditioned athletes in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And you're trying to tell me you can't get 40 minutes out of a guy? These are the best, most well-conditioned, at least theoretically, athletes in the world today, Doc. This isn't Steve down the block playing a pickup game. These are elderly or the best
in
the world
Rudy,
at what they do.
And the guys in the pickup game, they started about 10 o'clock in the morning until the lights went out in the park like that.
Yeah,
they're all
yeah,
day.
Doc.
They're there
Doc,
all day.
We were playing until lights. Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah. For nothing.
We would play until lights out, Doc. As long as there was sunshine, we were going up and down, up and down,
yeah,
up and
yeah,
down the court.
It's just amazing. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network, the show. It's Doc Stanley and Melco Sell Smith. And we're waiting for the rest of the crew to get in. I think there may be some problem. Lady A did give us a shout. She says she's in the queue, but I do
yes,
not
Yes, I think A is trying to make it.
Yeah,
and, Doc, if I may say something just quickly and briefly.
Yeah, go ahead.
You
go
mentioned
ahead.
Wrestling and some of the stuff you have with the Stars that I know you kind of hobnob
because I have. Go ahead. You had, in fact, what I'm going. Yeah, I'm looking for Lady A to join us, and I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to pull those pictures out, and I'm going to shoot those names at you. So do not worry about
Well, you
about
mentioned
that.
One, Doc, who played college ball in college. Kevin Nash, a.k.a. Diesel, goes about 7'1", about 330.
Wow.
Yeah, big guy. Big guy.
The Diesel. I hear you. I do a little floating there with the Diesel, though. My goodness.
Indeed. I know. I just wanted to see, Doc, just quickly, briefly, even though that's considered, you know, obviously sports entertainment, if you will, not the average public, and I can't blame them because until I got into it, neither did I, has no, and I mean no idea how tough that is to do, how brutal it is on the body, how tough it is to do. I'll tell you, Doc, having done that, I have a whole new respect for what they do. Everyone that, as we call civilians, meaning no non-wrestlers, you know, look at it and say, oh, man, anybody can stomp their foot on the mat and grunt and groan and, oh, if it was just nearly that easy. If it was just that, Doc, you know, something. You know, there's a thing with the actors, Doc, when they become stars and, you know, there are people who used to say, well, you know, he or she belongs to the public now. They're no longer ours. They're stars. They belong to the public. Well, when you become a professional wrestler, Doc, the joke among us is, well, your body is no longer your own now. You're going to give it to your profession because of the bumps, the bruises, the pain, and your threshold has to be high. You know, you have to be willing, Doc. Cause, I mean, it's just a brutal, it's actually very akin to pro football in the fact that those guys play in pain 6 days a week. Six days a week, Doc. not injured. You know, we have a distinction between playing hurt and playing injured. And I don't have to tell you that, you know, playing hurt means, you know, you have your little sprained wrist, your knees, elbows, whatever. You know, you hurt. Injured is like it's broke. Stay home. You know, don't even bother coming. We know you can't even walk. But guys play hurt 6 days a week, Doc, in that profession.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's rare to find a fighter that doesn't come into the ring with some sort of ills. I mean, you know, you're sort of stunned to realize that how often they come into that ring. Fox County Sports Up with the Blake, the Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Up with the show. I'm here with Mel Cosell. And Rooney, I've just talked to Lady A, and once again, I know we seem to have some technical. She said she's saying she's in, but she's not in, and we don't see her here. And
wow.
We're waiting for her.
We're hoping to hear from Awesome A.
Well, no, well, see, no, she's been trying, but there seems to be some sort of
glitch,
technical
glitch.
Problems here. You know, she's called. I knew she was going to join us. And
well, there's a lot of fighting, Awesome A, so I'm sure she'll keep trying.
Well, yeah, but it's not going to help here. Let me see. Okay, if I can find out what's going on here. Very rare. I'm just really, you know, looking for her to join us here. It's very rare that you have guys coming to the ring at 100%, and you just alluded to the fact that it just doesn't happen too often. It seems into any particular venue. And
no, Doc, you know, if you're going to play any kind of professional contact sports, football, wrestling, boxing, and even basketball, Doc, you know. Basketball is considered AKA a non-contact sport, but you and I know better.
I remember
sitting at courtside for a Knicks game, and Charles Oakley had been complaining in the press, basically to Patrick via the press, that, hey, man, I'm the only one under the boards, man. I need some help. All y'all up there calling for the ball, you know, midcourt calling for the ball after I get a rebound, calling for the pill. Hey, how about giving me some help under the boards? So one day, Doc, I was sitting courtside press covering, you know, obviously the Knicks. And, Doc, they're playing against the Seattle Supersonics. Detlef Schrempf.
Mm-hmm. John Kemp.
Thank you, Doc. I was trying to remember that name and get out. Doc, 6'10", 255-pound Sean Kemp. 6'9", 245-pound Detlef Schrempf. And another guy at the small fort whose name escapes me, another guy that's going 6'9", 245. I'm sorry, Doc?
I believe was it Sam Perkins on that team, too?
Thank you, Doc. I think it was Sam Perkins, 6'9", 245, 250.
Mm-hmm.
So here he's fighting. Here, Doc, Charles Oakley, who I think they listed at 6'8", 6'9", about 250 or so. And, Doc, he's fighting these three monsters under the boards. And I'm looking because they kind of made a ruckus in the paper about him being the only guy. And I'm looking, Doc, and the guy was right. He's battling these mastodons under the boards. And then these guys are throwing big-time elbows and doing big-time pushing out under the boards. And the guy is basically rumbling by himself under there, Doc. Now, no slight against Patrick, but I never really had paid attention to how incredibly, but you know, those guys aren't 6'9 and 250 for nothing, Doc. Those guys battle under the board.
It's not
for the weak of heart.
They got a little weight to them. You know, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day. I thought people understand the average guard in basketball is as big as the heavyweight champion of the world. The average guard in basketball is as big as the heavyweight champion of the world.
And that's
which
true,
means
Doc,
that means that everybody else is bigger. Everybody else is bigger. If you're as big as heavyweight champ of the world, and he's just a guard, imagine the other guys. You know what I mean?
I think Klitschko goes like 6'6", about 250, 6'7". Well, LeBron James is bigger than that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on the ID. Go ahead.
No problem there. It's the Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network show. It's a Sunday night before I go to Brazil, and we're going to take our midway break. And I'm just befuddled Well, some problems here. Ronnie, don't move.
By the host and guest are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You are listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, the Channel Sports Network show. And it's a Sunday show. And before I head back to Brazil, which I'll be there tomorrow night this time. And San Paulo, Lil Rosie, and the rest of the crew. It's me and Rooney. And when some of the gang get in, they're a lot on assignment. So they'll be joining us shortly. But not me and Mel, because we'll handle the duty. With that, my heart to you one more time, we'll open up the second half of Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network.
Welcome to Sports and Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Rooney, a lot of people were writing Derek Jeter off last year. A lot of people were saying he's not the same Derek Jeter. He's getting older now. Well, what are they saying now, Winnie?
Hey, Doc, Derek is setting a lot of folks out that thought maybe he was washed up and maybe it was time to say goodbye. A lot of folks were writing him off, Doc, figuring that his many years in the league and his advancing age, if you will, was going to be enough that maybe Father Time had caught up with him. But I think Derek came out with a purpose this year to kind of quiet the doubters, and so far he's done so. You know, he's kind of a Yankee icon, and you know, he strikes me as the type of guy, Doc, that would never play past the point where he starts to embarrass himself. I just think he has too much pride, too much class, and if he really didn't think that he could actually do it and get it done, that, you know, he would bow out gracefully. Derek doesn't strike me as the type of guy that would play to just try to get the last possible nickel if his performance is way below par. He doesn't strike me as the type of guy that would just kind of hang on, just to try to squeeze every last nickel out of a contract. If the guy was embarrassing himself, he doesn't strike me as the type.
Well, he's trying to be a great player. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to roll into the studio for just a second, give you some Brazilian music as I make a quick run and try to surprise Rooney here with some names.
Oh, you
somebody
got my
move.
Guys. Oh, bring me.
Leave a little Brazilian music. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Town, Sports Depth of the show. Looking at the World Cup, the cities that will host the World Cup, of course, Rio de Janeiro, not Rio, Rio de Janeiro, Recife, São Paulo, Fortaleza, Brasília, which is the capital, and Salvador, which had the first capital, Bahia. And I think Porto Alegre, I'm not sure, but I know for sure Rio de Janeiro, Recife, São Paulo, Fortaleza, Salvador, and Brasilia. I believe, for some reason, I'm thinking Porto Alegre. For some reason, I'm thinking Porto Alegre. Maybe it's Belém. Maybe Belém. But it's uncertainty that it's going to be those six. Don't move. We'll listen to music for you. And as we dig deep into the Trust in God, Sports and Death Artifacts Museum of Fame.
Que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gently that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ah. Oh, but you watch her so sadly.
My first trip to Brazil was legendary, Gloria Gaynor, only just cause ever to win a Grammy in that category. And we were invited to a very prestigious 10th anniversary party for Cabas, one of the famous magazines, the Look Life magazine, or Our Ebony. And they wanted Miss Gaynor to be there. In fact, they had a helicopter to come pick us up. Traffic is horrible in San Paulo as compared to New York. And they go over to go to Virginia, they call it, where certain time of the day, odd number of cars can't be driven. And certain time of the day, even number of cars can't be driven. Chiquinho and Neil, my fiada, they solved that problem. They one car has an even number plate, and the other car has an odd number plate. So her car has the odd number, or vice versa. And so they can, I remember one time we were at the gym, and he said that Nell came over to switch cars so we could drive back home, because she had to get the car back to the house at a certain time, because that particular number of the car, either odd or even, couldn't be driven. But they went with Ms. Gannon, got with Mr. Destrico Tomasio Jr., international promoter, and he said, we'd love to be there, fellas, but you know, we got a show tonight, you know how the traffic is. Sent a helicopter to pick us up, and we were taking pictures, and I took a picture of a young lady, and she turned to me and she said, have you ever heard the song The Girl of Ipanema? And I said, yes. I mean, anybody with any musical intellect, I guess she didn't know I was the doctor, has heard that great song. And she said, well, I am the girl of Ipanema. She's a young lady that the song was written about and written for. And that was really amazing. Another zillion blessings. My first time in Brazil, more or less, and I meet the legendary girl with name. The names I'm going to shoot at you, Rooney. Are you ready?
Yes, of course.
Shawn Michaels.
Pardon me. You know, when we had went to one of those wrestling functions at the Garden that day, Doc, I actually ran into Shawn Michaels. He was doing an autograph signing thing in the back. You know, towards one part of the garden down there. And
well,
I actually
that rotunda area you're talking about, right?
Thank you, Doc. That's it, the rotunda. And I actually met Sean, and you know what I remember, Doc? I will never remember. It was a little black kid, a little African-American kid, no more than 9 or so. And when his mama you know, walked up, and, you know, everybody was on the line, you know, getting autographs. And when he met Sean, and Sean shook his hand, kind of rubbed his head and signed it, Doc, and you saw that kid, he had stars in his eyes, Doc. It's like, I'm meeting my hero,
mm-hmm.
or at least one of my heroes, and you know, it's like I'm meeting him, and Doc, I mean, he's just sitting there, the smile on his face and the starstruck look in his eye. Doc, was worth $1 million to see that kid. Just an awesome, awesome sight. And if you, and you could see his mom, her mom, just the kid's mom just looking, just smile. The kid had stars in his eyes. He had met one of his heroes, Doc, and it was
admiration,
just great to see.
Appreciation, you know, that great line. Ah, it touches my heart. Hal Jackson, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. Here's another name for you. Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. NWA champion for what seems like a million years. Won and lost the title about 13 times or more.
And here's another one for you. Okay, good, Winnie.
No, I was going to say a legend in this business. Wrestled them well, been with them well, done it all. I mean, the guy, well, I don't know if there's anything that Ric Flair hasn't done in this business. He's been in all the federations. He's been all over the world, Japan, England, you name it. Flair's been there and defended it there. As I said, longtime National Wrestling Association heavyweight champion. Fought them all, been with them all, wrestled them all, knows them all. One of the all-time greats, inducted into any wrestling hall of fame that there is.
Wow, here's another one for you. Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Ted DiBiase, great guy who I've also met. His son, actually, Ted DiBiase Jr., was signed by the WF. I don't know if he's out through the injury or not. Ted DiBiase, I have a story about Ted DiBiase, Doc. You know, when Ted DiBiase was a younger wrestler, here's an African-American guy who was really, really huge called the Junkyard Dog. That was his moniker. I can't think of his actual real name at the moment, but his moniker was the Junkyard Dog. And at the time when in St. Louis and Chicago and places like that, Dog was like huge, a main eventer. And the heels used to catch so much heat, Doc, that the guy would literally hide in the trunk of the car and let the good guy wrestlers drive him in because he couldn't dare be seen or be known that his car was anywhere in the parking lot. Yeah, he would literally have the we call the baby faces, the good guy wrestlers that were cool with the fans. He would literally hide in the trunk, Doc, and let the guys drive him in that way. Because the guys, I mean, his safety was really, really in peril.
My goodness, the Junkyard Dog was treated like junk.
The Junkyard Dog was a hometown hero. It was the guys who played the heels, the bad guys who took their life in their own hands.
My goodness,
they loved dogs.
The Junkyard Dog. You talked about the Diesel already, but Bam Bam Bigelow.
My guy, Scott Bigelow, great guy. Actually, the late Scott. I believe Scott has passed on. However, I've met Scott on a few great guys, Scott Bigelow, Doc. Fierce look, tattooed head, goes about 6'3", about 340. Real tough, a down-to-earth guy. And non-wrestling time, is actually a bounty hunter.
Really?
When he wasn't wrestling, he was actually a bounty hunter, Doc. Wrestled everybody all over the world, a couple of stints with the then WWF, which is actually now the WWE. They had to change the WWF for a few years now, Doc. What happened is they at first were originally under Vince McMahon's father, Vince Sr., they were known as the WWWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Excuse me. And then about, I don't know, 20 years ago, they decided to change it and drop a W and make it the WWF, which was the World Wrestling Federation. Well, believe it or not, Doc, somebody already had those initials, and that was the World Wildlife Federation.
Wow.
Wildlife Federation. Mm-hmm. And so they actually had the WWF letters before then, and they agreed to let them, now get this, Doc, they agreed to let WWF use it if they promised that they wouldn't promote a message of violence. Well, of course, with some of the pay-per-views, the World Wildlife gave them a hard time about the violent content of their product. And after bothering them so much, you know, WWF just said, we're so tired of dealing with these people over this WWF thing. We're going to change it to WWE, so we don't even have to talk to them anymore about this. And that's what they did, Doc, about 10 years or so ago, maybe a little bit longer. They actually changed it to WWE, so as not to be in conflict with World Wildlife Federation.
Only in America.
So they changed their... So they actually, Doc, decided to change their official letterdom, if you will, to WWE, which stands for World Wrestling Entertainment.
There is, ladies and gentlemen, Little Coco with the inside scoop on the world of wrestling. Doc Stanley, Sports and F on the Blake with the Network Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports and F the show. Everybody else is out on assignment. Nate B. Baseball, Lady A. Lady A, Chad, so much. We talked about boxing today and things that are happening. Sergio Martinez is seen to be in the wings again, as there's some talk about, and he said he was going to retire, but Paul Williams is going to fight Canelo Alvarez. They're trying to get together this fight.
I'm sorry, Doc, to interrupt, but just quickly, you know, I was a real big fan of Paul, Doc. I thought this guy is going to be the next, not Tommy Hearns. I didn't think he had that kind of one-around talent, but I thought this is going to be a guy to be heard from. And
a force to be reckoned with, a guy that was going to earmark himself toward a Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, indeed. Tell you, Doc, that some guys really do respond differently after the first time they are lost or get knocked out in a violent fashion.
Your mentor said that's when the O goes, when you get knocked down, you really tell what a fight is about is what he does after that first loss, after that first knockdown. That tells you the story. Ray Robinson, knocked down against Tommy Bell, gets up, wins the welterweight championship of the world, loses Jake LaMotta, fights Jake LaMotta again in the same month with a fight in between. In the same month, for Jake LaMotta, he was 94-0, lost the fight. When the month ended, he was 96-1. Ali, I never forget the line, after he fought Joe, and one of the writers said, well, Joe said that, you know, he wouldn't want to fight again. I remember I said,
Indeed, he did say that.
I remember the class that happened because with Bob Slayton, when we did the piece on Ali, and he had me, I was so blessed to be part of that. And remember he ran it back and said, oh, how wrong he is. The great ones. Great ones, man. Ray Leonard after the fight in Montreal. You know what I mean?
That was a great fight, Doc. You know, I'm sorry, but when you say that, wow, what a tremendous rumble that was.
Oh, man.
Even to this day, I think about him and your guy, Roberto. Wow, what a war.
Montreal. I have it. And you know, give me a great time. Doc Stanley Sports, DocStanleySports.com is the site into the Trust in God Sports in Depth Artifact Entertainment Museum. And I have a poster. I saw that fight at Brooklyn College. I don't know where I found that poster at. Maybe when I have the poster that was on display, autographed by both Duran and Ray Leonard, of course, and the promoters, because that fight was co-promoted by Don King and Bob Arum. Got both of them guys.
You could actually get them in the same room long enough to promote.
The next time I remember them doing anything was Tito Trinidad and Oscar De La Hoya, and that was the fight where Tito lost and they gave it to him. But I remember Don talked about how, in a lot of ways, Bob tried to pull out, he would ask for something, he said, and anything Bob asked, he said, I gave him everything. I see Don now at Pier 17, he said, I gave him everything he wanted. He said, because I know my man can beat his man. He said, but I want it to be understood that if this is such a good deal, okay, when my man wins, I don't give you the same deal. And if you remember, he never had a second Trinidad De La Hoya fight. But the attempts were made by Oscar when he started promoting Golden Boy to try to make the fight. But you know, you never had the rematch made. And Don, I'm pretty sure they must have had something in between them. But what I can remember now, what a tremendous gap. We're talking about 79, Leonard Duran.
Well, the Montreal Duran, Doc, is one of the just great rumbles. You know, I know Duran is your guy and Ray is my guy. You know, Doc, I know you're going to disagree with this. I still think Ray won that rumble. I still think Ray won that. You know, when they announced the decision at the end, Doc, and they said, no, I said, no.
Rooney, 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 you're coming in broken up. That fight showed me, that fight showed me, and it showed Mike Trainer, Ollie Dunlap, what a never hit me those Raylan trucks, confident and such an integral part of Raylan's career, life, and boxing camp. And Ollie said when Ray came from the Montreal Olympics, they went to Mike Trainer, and they're all sitting there, him, Jenks Morton, Ray, and first trainer Mike Trainer says, can he fight? And Ollie and Jakes and Ray, and they look around the room, and they start laughing, and they're like, can he fight? I mean, wait, this is Ray Charles Leonard, the Olympic gold medal winner, one of the champions on this great gold medal team. What do you mean, can he fight? He said, no. I know he can box. Can he fight? Montreal showed you he could fight. If you
and
needed
Rumble
a
won.
Reminder, then you just, it was Tommy Hearns, both of those fights. And I remember the Donnie Lalonde fight. Lalonde must have knocked him down two or three times. Ray Charles Leonard got up. Great, great fight. I mean, you know, Ray Leonard was not a great fighter. Ray Leonard was a great, great fighter. And he
he's a warrior,
the greatest fighter.
A great warrior.
And the bottom line is, this is the bottom line on Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard beat every great fighter of his era. Okay? He beat Duran. He beat Hearns. He beat Hagler. He beat Benitez. He also beat a guy named Andy Pryor. He beat every great fighter of his era. And, you know, say what you want. Say what you want. I mean, and if you go back, he beat Tommy, split with Tommy, two out of three with Duran, beat Hagler, only time you ever saw him, you know? Dr. Stanley, Sports Network, the Network Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Network, the show, it's me and Mel Cosell, as everybody else is out on assignment. Go ahead, Winnie.
You know, I knew great, and I told you this story before off air. I knew he was going to be great, not fighting as a great fighter that he fought, Doc. I didn't know when I knew Ray Leonard was actually going to be a great fighter when I knew this guy was going to be great. He fought a real, real tough British guy who was a bit better than a club fighter, but not really champion material.
Oh, here you go again. Here you go again. Oh, you don't tell me you're going to bring this Davy Green story back
again. I certainly am. Davy
Boy
Green.
I can tell you something, Rooney. They thought Ray had killed him. I mean, Davy Boy, because I remember. You knew you'd know him a lot. And then Ray looked up. He was a little concerned, too. It took a while for Davy Boy Green to come back, come too, man.
What struck me about that fight, Doc, if I may, what struck me about that was, you know, he wasn't considered a champion type of guy, but he was a real tough, hard-nosed,
everybody
gritty,
knows those guys back
guy.
In that day, Howard Weston said, good fight. And I tell you, after that fight, you know, I think that answered a lot of questions about Ray Leonard's punching power. And, you know, a lot of people weren't rushing to fight Ray to fight Ray. They were rushing to fight Ray to get paid. You know what I mean? But, you know, Ray Leonard, if you look back at Ray's career, he lost it to Duran. And then, you know, you say, well, oh, wait a minute, what other losses come from? Camacho, but Terry Norris. But this is not the Ray Leonard of old. This is not, you know, Ray at his best.
No, that was way over the hill, Ray, Doc. That was
the only guy that beat, and this is why Marion Boykin that he picked when he went with those four guys from the era, Tommy Hearns, Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, and Roberto Duran. He picked Duran as number one, Ray 1A, because he said Duran beat the best Ray Leonard, you know, and he did it. Not only did he beat the best Ray Leonard, but he came up two weight classes to beat arguably, the second greatest welterweight of all time. I mean, Ray Leonard is definitely in your top five of all time. If you're going to say it's Ray Robinson, you're going to say Jose Naples, Emil Griffith, you know, you got to throw Harold Weston in there. So, I mean, he's in the top five. He's in Edgemon Lewis.
Question Ray's in the top five, Doc. No question about that.
Yeah, no question there,
Ray was great, Doc.
And the thing about Ray Leonard, too,
very good, great.
Well, and you know, Ronnie, too, Ray Leonard always was prepared and stayed in shape. Always prepared and stayed in shape. You know, the thing about Ray Leonard, you know, remind me when Harold was on top of his game, always ready. You know, always ready. I just, you know, you never understood how some guys could be so far out of shape, but it seems to be you know what happens. But Ray, like Evander, like Harold, always in shape, ready to go. You know, moment's notice, no problem. You know what I mean?
Doctor Duran fight Montreal with Ray. I'm sorry, the Rand fight in Montreal with Ray, the Tommy Hearns Rumble one with Ray, Doc, fully gut check time. Gut check.
Okay. Well, you know, it's as they said, he proved that he had heart and skills. Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Radio Rainbow, so the channel Sports Network for the show. Forthcoming shows, you know, we're going to this Wednesday live from San Paulo, the boxing way with Lady A, as we will talk boxing with the First Lady of Sports here on Blake Radio Network, along with Mel Cosell Smith Jr. So that show will be coming about 9 on Wednesday. So you'll get that, and then we'll be back in next Sunday. We're going to apologize. All of the crew members, though, are out on assignment, and so therefore they're not in studio. The Spurs and the Oklahoma City Thunder are playing tonight. The winner of that will take a one-game lead in this series. Tomorrow, the Boston Celtics. You know, I thought about something. They had a thing on the radio. It was yesterday. And you know, Woodson got the job, and they were talking about, well, how come they didn't reach out to Phil Jackson? And one guy called, you know, some of these sports casters, especially ESPN, these guys are more fan than the fans. And he was trying to make the thing, well, you know, they should have called Phil Jackson. One guy was saying, hey, you know, Phil Jackson's always had a pat hand. You got, well, he's the greatest coach of all time. You know, most of them. It's just like Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit is not the winningest pitcher in postseason play, okay? You don't count playoff games with World Series games. Me and the late Bill Shannon talked about that. He's not the greatest pitcher. He has the most wins in postseason play. Hey, you don't count playoff games with World Series, okay? And Phil Jackson is not the coach that Larry Brown is, not the coach that Holtzman is. Phil Jackson always had a pat hand. It's amazing that they never talk about the year when the Detroit Pistons almost swept the Lakers. If Kobe doesn't make that great shot in the second game in L.A. in desperation in the last seconds, so L.A. goes to Detroit 1-1, they would have got swept because it went to 0-2. I mean, they talk about Phil Jackson. Well, let me tell you what Red Auerbach did as a head coach. Besides putting 5 black players on the court for the first time December 24th, 1966, okay, what he did, he won the championship 8 years in a row. 8 years in a row, the Boston Celtics won the world championship. No three-peat. It was four-peat times two. Eight.
Probably a record that'll never be broken, Doc.
Eight in a row, Rooney. Eight in
probably
a row.
Probably a record that will never be broken by any pro team.
11 and 13 years. 11, and then when he lost, won, the greatest team assembled. 68 and 13, the Sixers. Real quick, too, you know, the first guy to play in the NBA, African-American-wise, was Earl Lloyd. And how that happened, Lloyd, born April 3rd, 1928. And how that happened was, you know, because he came in the league with three other guys, and four other guys. He was the first because on Halloween night, October 31st, 1950, he played against the Washington Capitals. And no, he was in the Washington Capitals, played against the Rogers Royals. And what happened after that was his game was scheduled the first among the four guys that were coming into the league. So he, by benefit of the schedule, got the first shot at the playing, and therefore he being the first African-American ever to play in the NBA, and in the ensuing weeks he was joined by a host of other outstanding players up in Boston, Chucks Cooper, Nathaniel Clifton, which is Sweetwater Clifton, and Hank DeZion. Clifton came back 4 days later after that. And with that, Rooney, we're just about ready to let it roll. As you know, we'll be broadcasting live from Fortaleza, Brazil. Live from Brazil. We'll be counting from there. And that will be, we're looking to do from Sao Paulo on Wednesday, the boxing way with Lady A and the Rooney. And then next Sunday, live from Fortaleza. Live your life today as you have to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most assistant and most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is what you pay for your space on earth. And we simply say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. And what I also want to say is that let's remember Al Jackson. That great line he always said, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice. And with that, the man, the greatest African sportscaster in the very history, Larry Hart, he has something to say.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
And with that, Rooney, tell the nation good night.
Thank you, Doctor. Well, the Sports in Depth Nation's been here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I've been here. We've been here via the Blake Radio Network, and the straw that stirs the drink's been here. And that's Doc Stanley. Doctor?
Rooney, take care, baby. Love you. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. And with that, we're going to say goodnight. And John Coltrane takes out Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Depth for the show. Want to make a donation? www.blakeradio.com. Hey. You want to go into the Trust in God Sports and Depth Entertainment Artifacts Hall of Fame? DocStanleySports.com. Want to get me directly? DocStanley@AOL. And with that, we say from the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God.